adulting na pot of beans. Ayoka.
Oh, Bami.
Some days, you go hard.
Hey, you kill a labor into your lung.
Some days, you go chop stone. Some days, your belly go run like person with a do marathon. And on some days, it go sweet you so they, it go become a liver twist. But the thing they say, now your pot of beans, you gas own them and take it one spoon at a time.
Hi guys, you're welcome back to this thing called Adulting Podcast, a safe place for young adults to be real, vulnerable, and share stories of the vast growth adulting has been giving us. Still on this season tagged for CYC, Expectations Against Reality, today's discussion is centered around what to do in the waiting. And as you know, I'm not going to be on this ride alone. I have a friend of mine, Esther Gennett, will be joining me in this discussion. I decided to have this particular discussion because whether we like it or not, there is always a waiting period for 90% of people passing out of NYSC. Not because you're not clear on your goals, not because you're unserious, but because life just happens, right? And that's why we have Esther today, as she has passed through, or should I say she is still passing through the waiting period. And she's going to share her experience of how it has been and how she's been able to cope through this particular period. So, Esther, you're welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Lola, for having me. It's really fun for me to be here today. Hi, guys. I'm so excited for you guys to be able to hear my story and hopefully, you know, understand everything that has happened in the past year or so. I am Esther Ogenek Bolubo. I went to law school with Lola in, we were called in 2018. Then I went on for my NYSC. And so after NYSC, like Lola said, there has pretty much been a waiting period. And something very important you should probably know about me is that I'm a Christian and I take my faith very seriously. So that has played a very big role in my waiting and everything. So yeah, that's pretty much that about me.
All right. So how was service year like for you? Where did you serve at first and how was your experience like for you?
Wow, that one is a very loaded question. A lot of you may not understand why, but for me it's very loaded. So I obviously wanted to serve in Lagos because that's where most of my friends were. And yeah. Lagos has most of the big firms, obviously. But I was posted to Borno State to serve. And okay, so I thought, fine, it's Borno State, so I should be able to get, you know, relocated back to the South. So while I was in camp and we were doing our reposting and everything, I put Lagos, even though we had been expressly forbidden from doing so. And I just thought, oh, well, it's going to work out. It's going to happen. So I might as well go ahead and put it. So I put Lagos. But unfortunately, I was posted to Ogun State. After the posting, I tried several things to get reposted to Lagos. I remember I was on this church group chat, and then, you know, everybody in the same scenario as me, you know, they'll come every day. We'll see people who are like, oh, thank God I've been reposted to Lagos. I'll be like, okay, no problem. You know, waiting patiently. The next day, another person will come, oh, praise the Lord, I've been reposted to Lagos. I'm like, okay. So I kept waiting. I'm waiting for my own to happen. Like, the thing is, once anybody says, oh, I've been reposted to Lagos, I'll quickly run to my NYSC dashboard, refresh it, just to make sure that, okay. And it was a bit depressing because, I mean, these are all people in the same situation as I am. And what was so unique about me that I, you know, that was so difficult for me to get reposted to Lagos? And I knew that if I had gotten reported to Lagos, I should have been able to get, you know, a good law firm. But unfortunately, it never happened. I was never able to be reported to Lagos for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm obviously sure it was part of God's plans. But at that point in my life, I was very sad about it, because all my friends, everybody was in Lagos. And I was stuck in Ogun State. And those who know about legal practice in Ogun State, you know that it's not a very flourishing endeavor, sort of. It's not so big, despite the fact that they share boundaries with Lagos State. It's not as big as legal practice in Lagos State. So I was like, so what am I going to do now? Now that I'm in Ogun State, what is going to happen to me? What am I going to do? So somehow I just thought, oh, okay, Babcock is there, Babcock University. I might as well see if I can get a graduate assistant position. So somehow I went and I got it. And so I spent my NYC year in Babcock University working as a graduate research assistant to a very wonderful man. The pay wasn't, I don't even want to say it wasn't the greatest, because the pay was almost non-existent. But wow. A lot of people are saying experience was great. I don't fault the experience. The experience was fabulous, because I'm a person who is interested in academics. So I felt like it was a very good way to introduce myself to, you know, the world of academics. Yeah, so I got introduced to it. The experience was fabulous, but the pay was the biggest issue for me. A lot of people, once you tell them you are working in Babcock, they're like, oh, you're working in Babcock. How did you do that? How did you work it? And I'm like, guys, calm down. There's no big deal. There's no big deal. Just take a look. Exactly. So what you think. Calm down. So whenever I told people how much I was being paid, they'd be like, what? Babcock is paying you that? And the funny thing is, I was being paid more than my friends there, because it wasn't even the school that was paying me directly. It was my boss, my immediate boss was paying me. So that was why my money was even...
Oh, so yourself and your friends we're not earning the same thing?
No, we weren't. But even what I was earning wasn't so much, but at least it was still more than their own. So that's just how ridiculous it was. Babcock was paying a ridiculous amount. But I mean, maybe they thought, oh, you would get the experience or whatever, but that was how it was. So that was that was service year for me. And it was interesting, to say the least. It was interesting. It was an experience indeed. It wasn't the experience I thought I would get, but it was an experience. So yeah.
To put it in better perspective for you guys, and why Esa would say she's a bit pained that she didn't get service year in Lagos. She finished with a first class in law school, and God, that is a big deal for you. For you as a lawyer, really, it's actually a big deal. So imagine finishing with a first class and you are stuck in a small circle where you can't even practice as much as you actually thought you would be able to practice. It's bad. It's a bit bad, because I think I experienced that when my own relocation too wasn't working out so well for me, right? Mm-hmm. But I finally got Lagos, so, but I still didn't get it. That was the old day. Okay, Esa, so past the end of NYC, right, you must have had these expectations of how you want your post NYC years or year or days to turn out to be, right? So would you want to share some of those expectations to us? What do you think, like, okay, after NYC, I mean, I should have done this, this is what life, or this is where I am expected to be right now after NYC. What were those expectations that you had?
That's a good thing. I actually had a lot of expectations. I'm someone who loves to plan ahead. So I'd already, before I left secondary school, I had planned my life. By so-and-so, you know, I would finish my university. By so-and-so, I would serve. I would do my master's and everything. So my plan was, immediately after my NYSC, I would begin my LLM. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to finish my applications on time for my LLM while I was doing my NYC. And another thing, most of the LLM sessions begin in September, and I wasn't going to pass out from NYC till like October, so that wouldn't even have worked. So I thought, okay, fine, that's fine. I can take a year to sort everything out and eventually hopefully go for the LLM. So by the end of October, when I was passing out, I decided that I wouldn't actively look for positions for jobs. I will try and sort out my LLM. I'll try and sort out my LLM before I, you know, looked for jobs actively. Obviously, I was looking passively, but I wasn't really looking for it the way I should have. So I took I took a few months to sort out applications, passports, blah blah blah, you know, that kind of thing. And I applied to 4 schools, none of them in Nigeria, because I thought first of all, the LLM in Nigeria takes a while. It takes, the shortest LLM you get in Nigeria is 18 months. And I had plans, like I said, I was like, I can't spare 18 months. If only I had known then. Because I'd actually applied to Babcock. I had been admitted into their LLM program. But I was thinking about it, I was like, I don't want to, because I mean, it's going to take 18 months. And I was just not ready for that time then. So I applied to some schools outside the country. And I got admitted, right? I got them. Unfortunately, I couldn't get any of the scholarships I was looking for. So I had to wait a while again. So when I applied to those schools, I was a bit scared that, oh, these guys are not going to admit me. But then I got the admissions and it was wonderful. But then I didn't get scholarships, and like the school fees for those schools were really, really, you know, a lot. So I was sad. I mean, I got a lot of the admission decisions by March, April. Between March and May, June, I got a lot of the admission decisions. So, I mean, here I am getting admitted into the schools. And the thing I need most, I wasn't getting it. And I'd already said, okay, I was going to take a while. So I hadn't even actively looked for a job. So I honestly did not have a fallback plan, because I have this belief that it will work out. I don't know. I just really, really believed that it will work out. So I was kind of, do I say drowning in an ocean of disbelief, because it was unbelievable. I was like, I don't know if you've ever had that kind of belief that this thing will definitely work out. And then it ends up not working out. I was like, Jesus Christ, what am I going to do with my life now? So when I didn't get any of the scholarships, I had to defer some of the admissions. But this was already during COVID. COVID had already begun. So, you know, the local economy was affected. The international economy was affected. So a lot of people were downsizing. A lot of people were letting staff go. And then this was the time I decided that I want to start looking for a job. It was it was unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was, like, I was like, what am I going to do? Who is even employing in this time? People are looking for how to let staff go. And me, I will now come and say, I want you to employ me. Like, who does that? So, I began actively looking for a job. I applied to a couple of firms. I applied to a couple of organizations. But it took a while. In fact, it's taking a while. So, in that period, I discussed with a friend of mine who was like, okay. She's applying to some schools that have January, February intake. Let's see how that goes. That's for 2021. Because I'd already missed the September, October, intake for 2020. So I was like, okay, fine, let's see. So I applied to some schools, you know, to, I needed something to cushion how I was feeling, because I don't know, I just really, really felt very bad, because I was like, it wasn't that I didn't get the admission for the schools. It was that I couldn't get funding for the schools. And it was terrible, because I mean, here I am, having spent a lot of time applying to these schools, because anyone who has done, you know, these applications for international schools, you would know how long it takes to even finish the application process. There's a lot. You are filling in a lot. You are filling, and you have to reach out to your referees, you know. And that was, I think for me, that was like the hardest part, because I felt like I was stressing my refs, you know, telling them, oh, SARS, please, I have another application I'm making. Please, can you guys send in a reference letter for it? And I just felt like these guys have things they are doing. I can't keep stressing them like this. So when those four schools, when they kind of fell apart, obviously, I was like, this process, I'm going to begin it again. So I was encouraged. And yeah, I began the process again for two schools. So, but in
January intakes, right?
Yeah. So in that time, I was already actively looking for a job, but nobody wanted to employ me, and I was getting pissed off. I'm like, you know, that's the thing about social media. You go on social media and you think you see people flourishing. You're seeing people, oh, even in the midst of this COVID-19, I have, you know, I've been able to get a job. I've been promoted. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're seeing all this. You're seeing all those people supposedly doing so well. And you're just like, you know, the popular God, when sometimes I'll be like, God, when, like, these people, they don't have to help. I'm here.
Right.
I'm here. I mean, remember, I'm here. So I think it was like a tug of war, right? Between, I don't want to say it was a tug of war between me and God, but it seemed like it, because sometimes I'll just go to God in prayer and be like, God, I don't know why this is happening, because, you know, I just really felt like God was talking to me about the schools, but then it just falls through, and I'm like, so was that me talking to myself? I mean, if it's not God, then what is it the devil, or what is this? Because there was one school in particular that I thought, you know, this would be the school, and then they now, those ones even had the audacity to send me a message. They sent me a message to let me know that, oh, that CEO, out of over 100, or was it 300 applications that they got, that I was among the top 16. But unfortunately, wow. I'm like, what are you guys telling me? I did not get it, because it was just one scholarship. You can't be telling me I'm top 16 and I did not get it. How does that help me? So, like, it was just... I don't care what they were saying. The bottom line is, they did not give me the scholarship, and I was pissed off. I was angry. I was sad. I was really, really upset, because I really thought, okay, fine, if all the others don't work out, that one will definitely work out. Ha! And then it didn't work out. And I just came to God, obviously angry, still angry. And I'm like, God, what is this? Am I a joke? Because I was like, what are these things I'm hearing, or what are these things I'm seeing, and what are these things that are not manifesting? You know, you think you have a clear picture of how your life should be, but I mean, even if God has told you that he has a plan for you and the plans are good, it doesn't mean that his plans will align with your plans. I mean, most of the time, our plans will never align with plans that God has for us. That's something I have.
Sure.
Yeah, that's something I have just, I'm still trying to ingrain in my head. I'm still trying to have ingrained in my head. I'm still reminding myself every day that, you may have plans and you may think that these plans are God's plans, but the truth is, 99% of the time, I believe for me, I believe that 99% of the time, our plans will not, or God's plans will not align with our plans. You will think, initially, I thought everything was going smoothly when I finished from law school. You know, I thought, because I had this, do I call it a vision? Because now I'm starting to think it was my mind playing tricks on me. But but it was some sort of vision on my path. So I had written it down and there was a certain way it was supposed to go. I think that was probably the first issue for me. I had written it down and then the law school result had come out and it sort of like, for me, it sort of sealed the deal. I was like, okay, I mean, this is the first thing in...
Getting closer.
Yeah, this is the first thing in the vision. So that means everything is going to align. But trust me, after the law school result came out, in fact, the law school result was the first and last thing that came to pass in that wow. in that plan I had written. So it just wow. it was then I just decided of this year rather I just decided that, you know what, anyhow it happens, I'm going to stop searching for the answers from God knows where, and I'm just going to I mean, obviously, it will hurt when things don't work out the way you want them to work out. Because for me, I mean, it has hurt a lot. It has been painful. It has been saddening. It has been depressing. It has hurt a lot. But I've just decided to tell myself that, I mean, it will be sad. It will be upsetting. But I'm just going to have to trust that, you know, it's all part of God's plan. There's this tapestry... what's it called? Analogy. There's this tapestry analogy I like to use. I heard it somewhere. It's like, it says that, you know, a beautiful tapestry, most of the time, God's plans are like a beautiful tapestry. What we see as humans is the back with all the mess, the threads, and what have you. But if we had the opportunity to go in front, we will see how beautiful the tapestry. So right now, as humans, all we are seeing is the mess. We don't understand where all this mess is heading. It's like a cloth, you know, a cloth that is being sewn. If you turn it inside out, you'll see all the threads and everything. It will look a mess. But if you turn it in the right way, you'll see how beautiful it is. So that's how God's plans are. We don't see the big picture. We just see a fraction of it. So that's what, you know, I've been telling myself and I've been reminding myself of this past few months. I've just been reminding myself that, okay, see, God's plans are like that. So upon my further applications, I got into one of the schools and I got a partial scholarship. And then the school I thought I wanted to get into, like, I really thought, okay, because I have a friend who is going to that school, so I was like, okay, we can help each other balance out, you know, I mean, both of us are going to be new, so it would be nice to have, it would be nice to have somebody there who is familiar with the whole, not familiar rather, because we are both going to be new, but at least somebody there who can help you, who you can move with, and, you know,
who can relate to what you're going through.
Exactly. But unfortunately, and the funny thing is that I was the one who told her about the school. Unfortunately, I wasn't accepted into that one. So that was just another point of sadness and depression for me. I was like, what on earth is happening here? Like, okay, fine. I get that I had gotten another school. But like... It wasn't that I didn't want to go to that school. It's just that I really hoped that I would, you know, we would get into this one together so that we could help each other out. And that's the one that she wants to take because obviously their own admission is easier to process than the one I got into. So, it was another point of upset. I was just really upset. But after a while, I told myself, okay, fine. I didn't get into that one. That's fine. I'll just try and see, you know, how to take up the other one. And so, I think that's where I am right now. Oh, and in the meantime, I got a job. So, I don't know whether to say all things are working together for my good so far, so good. But it's been a year. for me, it's been yeah. it's been 2020 has been a year for some people, for most of us. You know, there's been COVID and there's been the death of a lot of people that we knew, you know, both celebrities and personal people. I have friends that I've lost parents, you know, that kind of thing. 2020 has been a year. I think that was what I just told myself, that, I mean, I'm complaining. The worst that has happened to me this year is that I haven't gotten into the schools I wanted to get to. That's the worst that has happened to me this year. And I've been like, oh my God, this has been a year. This has been a long year and everything. But I mean, there are people, like I said, there are people that have lost people. There are people that have lost family, that have lost friends. So I told myself that, see, as much as I haven't gotten the things I thought I would have gotten by now, I'm still going to appreciate how far I have come this year. I mean, I feel like for this year, being alive self at this time is a very huge blessing. Because a lot of things have happened. But I mean, a friend of mine now told me that, see, I shouldn't trivialize my own pain. And so I'm trying not to trivialize it, because these things that have happened, as supposedly small as they look, they really hurt me. They've really, you know, been painful for me. But yeah, I'm trying to move past them, hopefully.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, that was a journey for you, right?
Yeah.
It's a different thing to think about after NYC, some months later, I've packed my bag, I'm off this country. Yeah. And like you said, you had your plans ready. Maybe like at this particular phase, at this particular age, I would have achieved this. This age, I'll have achieved this. Mm. And it looks like everything is just, it's just in your head, like just there, and yeah. No coming to actualization, right?
Yeah.
So during this whole phase of yours, did you ever feel like you are a failure?
Definitely. There were a lot of times I was just like, what is wrong with me? Like, and like I said, that's another problem for me with the social media. Because you're going online and you're seeing people doing so well, and you're just looking at yourself, I'm like, what is different? Why am I finding it so difficult to, you know, to get through this whole thing? So there were days I was like, it was like a mantra, but I had to break away from those thoughts, because I know, personally, I know how far I've come, right? I know how far I've come. I mean, it may not look like a lot sometimes, but I know my achievements so far. So I just had to remind myself that, see, I have gotten all these things. I have achieved all these things. So I cannot now label myself a failure simply because I was unable to get these other things. It's not that I've been completely unable to get them. I mean, it's only been a year, a long year, but it's only been a year nonetheless. So it's too soon to label myself a failure. I would try to give it a longer time, you know, give it a longer time and see how it goes. But obviously, there were days that the thought crossed my mind. I was just really pissed. I was just really upset. I was just like, ah, big, this whole thing, it just tired me. I was like, no. I just could not understand what was happening. I have very good friends. I have friends who have encouraged me. So it's important to have people in your corner. And those guys have been in my corner, you know, uplifting me.
Okay. So you mentioned when we started, and I know personally that you take your Christian journey very, very serious, right?
Yes, I do.
And personally, as a Christian too, I know that at some point when you keep thinking this is going to happen or this is going to fall through, or you keep asking God for a particular thing and you feel so convinced in your spirit that, oh, I am going to get this thing right, and it doesn't come, there is a weariness that comes with it.
Yeah.
There is this, didn't I just hear God well? Or what is God telling me? Or is God not God again? All those kind of questions. So this phase you just went through, right? I know part of it. Did it make you feel less of a Christian? Did you feel at a point feel, oh, I think this Christian journey is not just, did you feel somehow with your Christian life or with your Christian journey? Did it make you, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. And honestly, I would be lying if I said I didn't feel that way. Because like I said earlier, there were days I had like something like a tug of war with God. I was like, God, I was pretty sure it was you who told me this. I was pretty sure that I heard this thing from you. So why isn't it working out the way it was supposed to work out? There were days I had that, you know, there were days I'll just go before God and I'll just be so angry. I'll just be so upset. And so it's like I'm going before God just to tell him how upset I am right now about things not going the way I have planned. But you know, anytime I start to get into that fog, there was a particular incident I remember. I can't remember exactly how I was feeling that period or what it was that triggered it. But I remember that I was feeling so down. And for a while, I was finding it difficult to pray. I was finding it difficult to talk to God. And I was very upset. I was very, very upset. So the day I decided, okay, I want to actually pray and sort this thing out, I picked up the devotional and the topic was like a response from God. And I was flabbergasted because I was like, oh my God. It was so apt. I was like, oh my goodness. And that, I think that was the last time I I went on that kind of tirade, because I was like, you know, sometimes we just feel like God is not with us. We feel like, you know, God is not hearing us. But there's something I've been able to drill into myself, that God may seem like he's taking his time, but God is always on time.
Right.
So it may, you know, you may be like, oh God, why are you taking your time to do this in my life now? But God is, when he does it, he'll be just in time. He'll be just in time. So it's something that as humans, we will find difficult to reconcile, obviously, because as humans, we are very impatient. We want things to happen at the moment that we want them to happen. And once they don't happen at that moment, we get upset. You know, we start wondering where God is. We start asking questions. We start doubting our faith and everything, because those things have not happened. But when they happen, we would realize that these things have happened just at the right time. So there are definitely times I have gone, you know, there's this song that there's this Don Moyne song that actually has helped me a bit through the whole process. It's titled I Will Sing. So it's like, let me just give a line from the song. Although I haven't lost my faith, I must confess that at times it's hard for me to pray. So yeah, there were times where it was hard for me to pray, but it wasn't that I lost my faith or anything. It was just that it was hard. So those days I would just try and sing and just praise and just, you know, see if I could praise my way through the storm and everything. Yeah, you know the song. So yeah. But as you give them grace.
It's a very nice song. I mean, I use it a lot to when I feel like things are not working well and feels like God is not just listening. Like, yeah. God, like I'm talking to you, can you just hear me? Why is this thing taking so long? Why is it taking this time? And that song just comes and sometimes you're like, okay, I really don't know where to start from right now, mm-hmm. but I know you're just doing something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's briefly talk about your finances during this period, right?
Yeah.
It's for NYC, government allowance was no longer coming in. Like it's normal for you to think, well, after NYC I'll be financially independent. Like, and you're thinking, oh, there's no handout again for my uncles and sisters and stuff. So, how did you cope financially through this period?
Okay, can I be honestly? Yeah. I really I don't think I had issues with finance during this period, because I was at home with my parents. So it wasn't like I was buying food or I was buying anything. And like once in a while, my popsy would just send us some money because he understood that, okay, we're at home. So financially, fine, there were times that I wanted to get some other things that, you know, I couldn't afford. But I mean, it wasn't like they were needs. They were just wants, things I just wanted. It wasn't that I needed them. So yeah, sometimes I'd be like, oh my God, I wish I had some money, you know, to be able to do this whole thing. But really, I won't say that when it came to that aspect, I lacked a lot. Thank God, because if I had, I think for me, that would have just been the icing on the cake. But thankfully, yeah, I didn't really have any problems financially. Yeah.
Okay, that's great to hear. So rounding this up, right, what do you think if you had known during or before NYSC would have helped shape this particular waiting period, or would have made it better, or should I say won't have allowed the experience to be this far too long? So what do you think if you had known before or during NYC would have shaping this whole period for you?
I think if I had realized sometime in my teens that life happens at its own time, I would have been better for it. Because I feel like in my teens, I just believed that life would happen the way I want it to happen. But if someone had the patience to drill in my head that COSA, life is not going to happen the way you want it to happen. Life is going to happen at its own time. I think if someone had, you know, been so kind to drill that into my head, this whole thing would have been more tolerable. Because it was unbearable, because I just believed that it would happen how I wanted it to happen. But knowing that life will happen when it wants is a very important thing to, you know, to live in this world that we are in.
Yeah. So I think that's a very good note to bring this to an end, that life is not what you can predict. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's not 2 times 3 is 1, 2 times 3 is 6. Life is 2 times 1 is 2, 2 times 3 is 10. It doesn't always happen how you want it to happen. So it's always, and funny thing is, as much as we know this, or let me say, as much as we hear about this, we really do not put it in perspective until we experience it.
That's true. We don't.
Because it's like you hear it a lot from farm. When I finished this particular stage, I thought it was going to be like this, but then it didn't happen that way. Life is not what you can predict, and you feel like, okay. Mm-hmm. But then when you are experiencing that moment, that's when you really have the understanding that you can't just say, when by the age of 20, I'll be this, 21, I'll be this, 22, I'll be this, 23, I'll be this, 24, I'll be this, 25, I'll be this. It will just shock you when when this thing called life and that thing just happens.
That's so true.
And show you off the track.
Completely off.
Yeah. Very, very far off. Thank you for doing this with me. Thank you for sharing your story. I'm sure this is going to help at least a person. I mean, if a person is getting lifted through this, I mean, I feel blessed already. I feel great. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for sharing your experience. It was nice having you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was nice being here and being able to rant. I mean, because I know I went on a rant. But it was nice.
Okay, so if people want to follow you on social media, where can they reach you, or if people want to get to know more about you?
Okay, so I have a Twitter account. Do I remember the name? It's SA_Nick. Nick is spelled NEAK. So it's SA_ESE_NEAK. Then I have a podcast as well. Once you're done listening to Lola's own, you can hop over to mine and listen to me ramble and rant a bit. It's called Essays and Essays. Yeah, Essays as in your essay writing, essays and essay, as in my name. So yeah.
All right, essay. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to the just concluded episode of This Thing Called Adulting Podcast. I hope you really had fun listening to it. Please do well to subscribe, rate, share, and most importantly, send me mails at thisthingcalledadultingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can use the Anchor app to send me voice notes. I really look forward to hearing from you guys. Also, you can follow the podcast on Instagram @_thisthingcalledadultingpodcast. Till I speak to you next week, stay jiggy. Bye.